2018, the first study. Isn't that amazing? And now we'll blow the trumpet for the first time once I put the study up.
Here it is
right there. Here it is. All right. Shabbat Shalom. There's a trumpet blowing for the first time this year, in the Gregorian year, that is. This is our first study. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And it's time to ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that you're on your throne and that you watch us and you see us. Forgive us any sin, anything that we do that's displeasing to you and anything that's incorrect. We try to not to sin. We don't sin presumptuously. So everything we do, Father, it's not knowingly. And we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood. And you said you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God bless everyone today. May God strengthen everyone today, spiritually and physically, in this new year, this 2018. And may God help you and give us new insights and new endeavors and new projects and try to hunt out new souls. May God bless the study today. May it be beneficial to everyone. May God heal you and touch you. And may God be with you. And may God always surround us with his angels and caution us from any evil. And I thank God for another Shabbat in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Well, here we are in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee. One more time. Maple Street, there's our email, there's our website, still running, thank God. Actually, I got a bunch of computer stuff back there. I'm going to try to put up another computer one of these days soon, Lord willing. There it is, January 6, 2018, in the 21st century. Here we are. And there's Janice. She's just he is the Roman god of gates and doorways, depicted with two faces looking opposite directions. Isn't that nice to know that's what January is? Janus, some weasel, Roman weasel god. But that's where the name comes from. And January used to have 29 days until Julius decided to change it to 31 days. That's why we know the calendar is so off after all these years. I guess if you added up all the days, they changed the calendar back and forth. We don't really even know what date it really is. Anyway, we acknowledge the calendar of God, which never changes. We're in the 10th month of God, Tevet, the 18th day. And that's found in Esther 2:16. Well, here we are, another year, believe it or not, 2018. And this has been a teaching ministry for all these years. And I was noticing we were advertising in the Validity magazine here that went to all the local towns and cities around here, and they ended their publication. This December was the last publication. So now we need to find a new venue to get some advertising out. Anyway, we're here to teach and instruct people in the ways of righteousness, all of us by now, because a lot of you people have continued on unto this day many years later. So we should all know many things. Well, the server is running very nice back there. I update it all the time, and you could read the studies, you could watch the studies, you could listen to the studies, you could even download them to your MP3 players. And there they are. We're in the Pow Talk room, I'm sure. And I believe we're streaming right now on an old program that I got many years ago. It still works. But it does what it has to do. That's all I need. I don't need any new bells and whistles. If the other, you know, if something's not broke, you know, don't try to get another one. I guess maybe this will start again. I haven't received any invitations to learn the Hebrew roots of your faith, but I'm still around, and there's a link. Well, the first study of the year, today's topic, is to understand the parables. And I was thinking about that last night. It just popped into my mind. I was thinking parables. That's really good. Because the word mashal is properly a pithy maxim, usually of a metaphorical nature, hence a simile or an adage, a poem or discourse, byword like a parable, it means parable, proverb, a sentence of ethical wisdom and ethical maxims. And And I looked up that word pithy. You know, it's pretty nice. And that means brief, forceful, meaningful in expression, full of vigor, full of substance, meaning, terse, and forcible. You know, so it's God's parables are right on. They're not just little fairy tales, you know. And there's the Greek word, paraboli, or parabole, a simile, a parable, that is symbolically a narrative of a common life conveying a moral or adage, a comparison, conveying a figure or a parable or a proverb. So these are, that's why, if you notice, there's lots of parables in the Bible. The first instance, I'm not going to read a lot of these chapters to you because it was just overbearing, but a lot of the first instance of parable was in Numbers 23, where Balaam took up a parable and said unto Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram and out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy me Israel. And that's pretty wicked. And of course, you have to read the whole chapter to get the meaning, but I just wanted to go over a few things because I have some other chapters I'm going to be reading. So we got the, Balaam took up a parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. And you have to read that whole thing. That's in Numbers chapter 23. And you can read 24 too, Numbers 24. When Balaam saw that it pleased Jehovah to bless Israel, he went not, as other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God is right there, I was noticing. And he took up a parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said, when hearing the words of God and saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, having his eyes opened. That's pretty powerful words. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of the line aloes, which Jehovah had planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Amen. God brought him forth out of Egypt. That's Jacob, who's Israel. He hath also had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. He croucheth, he lays down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blessed thee, and cursed is he that curses you. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up another parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in the rock. And he took up another parable and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? Amen. So that was the first instances. You can read those two chapters in the fullness if you want to get really what's going on. Then I went to the next instance was Job. Job in 27 and 29. Job talks by parables too, and you can read that yourself. That's Job 27 and 29. Then I found the word parable in the book of Ezekiel, of course. You have to read that yourself. I'm going through some of these to show you where they are, so later you can look them up yourself. So it's Ezekiel 17, Ezekiel 20. Sometimes a parable is, you know, God is sending a reproof to the rebellious house. Ezekiel 24. Book of Micah has parables in it. Doleful lamentation. And that's parables sometimes have judgment in them. You know, I noticed that. And woe and indignation and wrath. That's in the book of Micah too. Habakkuk has that also. About taking up a parable against him and taunting proverb against him. You can read that yourself. I just wanted to bring up the instances that before I'm going to start getting into the whole meat of the study, just to show you that the word parable, mashal, is everywhere. So here's the parables of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. We'll start with Matthew 13. It says, the same day went Yeshua out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, because that was the most logical, easiest way to convey a message, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. This is a parable. And when he sowed, his seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some seeds fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they just wither away. And some seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Yeah. But of course, others fell on good ground and brought forth plentiful, you know, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, just as much as it can bring forth. And he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. This is a parable. So a parable might have also a spiritual message too. And the disciples came unto him and said, why do you speak unto them in parables? And Yeshua answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. And the reason why it's not given to them, because their ears are shut. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because that seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. Right. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. And that is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, go, tell this people, hearing you indeed, but they understand not, seeing you indeed, but they perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. So it's actually the people doing it themselves. It's not God doing it. But for us, God says, blessed are your eyes, for you they see, and blessed are your ears, for you hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Of course, many people wanted to see the Messiah, but there he is right in front of them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This is the explanation. When one hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, the devil, and he catcheth away that which was sown in the person's heart. This is that they which receive seed by the wayside. That's pretty bad. They actually hear the word, but the devil comes and takes it right out of them. He that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but endures just for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution come or arise, because of the word, he's offended. Then he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So you got to be really careful about things that your flesh might lust after. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, and he goes bears fruits and brings forth some 100-fold, 60 and 30. And that's the way it is. So we see four different kinds of people there, right? It's amazing. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in a field. But when men slept, the enemy comes, of course, when you're not listening or watching, and he sows tares among the wheat and went on his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didn't we sow good seed in the field? When did these tares show up? How come these tares are here? And he said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up? He said, No. Lest while you gather the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares. Just like it was in the days of Noah. And bind them in bundles to burn them. And gather the wheat into my barns. Pretty powerful explanation. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Amen. Another parable. So basically, kingdom of heaven, you know, might seem insignificant in this world, might seem, I don't know what people, it might even seem obsolete. But to us, even though that little thing is going to bloom into everlasting life, it's going to bloom into an existence that's going to last forever for the people that keep God's commandments. And that's an understanding out of that. Another parable spoke he unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Basically the same situation here. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's just the way the kingdom of heaven is like. Right down here, you know, you might seem like, you know, there's only a few of us, we're insignificant or nothing. But believe me, there's going to be an amazing amount of people that end up in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says that. And these things spoke Yeshua unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spoke he not unto them. You know why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet David, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, or utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that's found in Psalm 78:2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Then Yeshua sent the multitude away and went into his house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, they wanted to hear this again. Can you just declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field? So now he breaks it down into like simple terms. He answered and said unto them, He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's me. Okay? The field is the world. Okay? The earth, the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's us. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest, obviously, is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire first, so shall be in the end of the world, this world. There is an end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, whatever that means. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So if you have ears to hear, I hope you hear this. Amen. So if we just do what God says, keeping the commandments is not grievous. I mean, I was telling that to someone yesterday. I said, what's so hard about keeping the Ten Commandments? I mean, think about it. What's so bad about it or hard? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man had found, he hides. When a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he hath and buys that field. That's what we do when we find the truth of the gospel Everything else really doesn't matter, really. We just want to serve God and keep His commandments. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought that. And that's what we did. We forsook, once we found the truth, we forsook all philosophies, all opinions, all doctrines, all religions. We just got that one pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down to gather the good into vessels. Same thing, and the bad they cast away. These are all pictures of the end of the world. So shall it be at the end of the world. There it is right there. The angel shall come and sever the wicked from among the just. That'll be a scary day. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's a deep parable, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeshua said unto them, have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Yes, we do. We understand. Matthew 15 says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. There's two commandments, hear and also understand with your heart and mind. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a person, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles a person. Then came the disciples and said unto him, knowest that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these things? Like he cares. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father had planted, heavenly Father had not planted, shall be rooted up. Those are the Pharisees. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both fall in the ditch. Then Peter said unto him, declare unto us this parable. We want to know it. Yeshua said unto Peter, are you without understanding? Don't you understand that that which enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. Wow. So what's ever in your heart is eventually going to come out of your mouth. And they defile a person. Out of the heart, which comes out of the mouth, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Maybe this is where Apostle Paul got his list from Yeshua. These things, says, these are the things which defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands, that's what I'm talking about right now. Washing your hands. It's good to wash your hands if they're dirty when you eat, but don't make a commandment out of it, okay? And don't make a tradition out of it. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a person. They don't defile you spiritually where you're going to end up in hell. You might get sick if you don't wash your hands and you touch the wrong thing, or germs. Right. Anyway, that's a good parable to understand. Here another parable, Yeshua says. These are all fantastic stories written by the Messiah. That's really beautiful to have, isn't it? There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Looked like everything was under control, huh? And when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. What a weasel. Again, he sent his servants the more. He sent more servants than the first, and they did the same thing likewise. Last of all, he sent his own son, saying, they will reverence my son. And this is all talking about God sent prophets and people and everyone. He even sent the word, his word. And that's they did that treated him the same way. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And the Lord thereof the vineyard comes. When the Lord of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto the husbandmen? Will he have a prayer meeting and love them and forgive them? No. It says he will miserably destroy those wicked people and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit of their in their seasons. Yeshua said unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures the Tanakh, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And that is right in Psalms, the Tanakh. It says, Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused, that's Messiah. The builders are the rulers at the time when he came. The stone is which the builders refuse has become the headstone of the corner. This is Jehovah's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. This is God Almighty's plan of salvation. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, you Pharisees, and given unto a nation, bringing forth fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken. So if you fall on the stone, that's probably good. Maybe it'll break your heart and you'll repent and consider things. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it'll grind you to powder. You'll be wiped out if you reject the gospel. It's like that's horrible. Matthew 22. Yeshua answered and spake unto them again by parables. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And guess what? They wouldn't come. People that were bidden, people that should have known the truth, and they don't want to come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Just like I was telling a person yesterday, after tell people the truth, they make light of it. And they went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Wow. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Isn't that amazing? Israel wasn't worthy. They rejected the Messiah, most of Israel. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, just like we do. We go into the highways and villages and cities and preach the gospel to whoever comes near us if we can. We try to advertise and get the gospel out through the server and the website, So these servants, they gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And we hope the bad ones repent. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a person that didn't have on a wedding garment. In other words, they weren't ready to meet the Lord. And he said unto him, friend, how did you come in hither not having on a wedding garment? How could you come here with sin on you? He was speechless. Then said the king unto his servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but only few are chosen. Just think of all the people God called. Most of them didn't even, they shut their ears and they shut their eyes and they turned their back to him. Just think of that. Matthew 24 says, learn the power of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. I'm going to have to go check our little fig tree. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So the people, the generation that sees these things, all things shall be fulfilled. That generation is not going to pass away. The generation that sees all these things, which I don't know which generation that is at this moment. Heaven and earth shall pass away if it was possible, But my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no person, no, not even the angels of heaven. Only my Father knows the answer when I'm coming back. But just remember, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, doing this, doing that, thinking they're so smart, creating this, making that, inventing this, doing this, whatever. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Just think of all the people that think whatever they're doing is so important, and then the Lord comes back, and they don't have on the right garment. They have on the sin instead of a nice, clean linen garment, which is the righteousness of saints. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In that day, in that generation, that's a scary generation to live in. I somehow don't think it's going to be my generation, but it might be the next one. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. Then shall two be in the field, just like that, and one's going to be taken, the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one taken, the other left. Watch. So we have to always watch, therefore. Don't just forget the Lord every day. Make sure you think about the Lord every day. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You never know when you're going to meet the Lord. You might go ahead and meet him ahead of time. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, of course he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. You know why? For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. And I assume that's also when we die. You know, we don't know when we're going to die, but the Son of Man might be coming to get us one day. So let's be ready. And then in the end, no one's going to know when the Lord's going to come back physically. You know, he's going to split open the eastern skies and crush everything. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Watching, that is. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Of course. What if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Oh, I heard this gospel for the last 50 years. Where is he? I heard it for 70 years. Man, people before me were telling me this. They're all gone. Where is the Lord coming back? My Lord delays his coming. And you go around and you start smiting your fellow servants and you start treating people bad and try, you know, bringing accusations against people and to eat and drink with the drunkards. And that could be drunk with anything besides liquor. You could be drunk in their things that they want to do and lost in, oh, who knows what. And the Lord of the servants shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when you're not aware, and shall cut that person asunder and appoint him their portion, appoint them their portion with the hypocrites, because they presented themselves so holy, but they're phonies. The hypocrites, just to get, the portion is going to be with the hypocrites. Isn't that scary? There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't like that idea. Do you?
No.
I don't think you do. This is a parable of a very important meaning. Mark 3 says, which I find, I sort of got a little upset when I read this. When Yeshua's friends heard of it, what he was doing there, you have to read the whole chapter. They went out to lay hold on Yeshua, and for they said that Yeshua was beside himself. How dare them say that? And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he had Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils he casts out devils. And he called unto them and said in parables, wait a second, I'll show you guys, they don't even know what they're talking about, because how could Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Notice all the houses that were divided, with one believing in God and the other one don't. They don't stand, right? And if Satan rise up against himself, he be divided. He cannot stand, but had an end. No man, when he enters into a strong man's house and spoils his goods, except he, no man can enter into a strong man's house. Of course not, except he spoil his goods. Except he will first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house, right? Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the Son of Man, and blasphemies wherewith they soever they shall blaspheme, because they don't even know what they're doing. But anyone that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, you have never forgiveness. There's probably people walking around out there just like that too. They have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Wow. That's because they said he had an unclean spirit. So these people blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Wow. Luke 5 tells us, and they say unto him, why do the disciples of John fast off and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but you guys eat and drink all the time. What's up with that? And Yeshua said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then you better fast in those days. So make sure you fast, or you won't last. And he spoke another parable unto them. No man puts a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, when both the new makes a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreed not with the old. You know, it's very hard to get people that are just adamant in reading the Tanakh in the letter, and they can't see the spiritual matter and the understanding of the Messiah, and they're blind to everything because they shut their eyes, they shut their ears, and they shut the way the Spirit of God who's dealing with them. And you can't really mix these two together because it disrupts. And no man puts new wine into old bottles. Same thing. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and spill, and the bottles will perish. New wine must be put in new bottles, and both are preserved. Amen. And that's why I'm thank God that we, you have to have the spiritual understanding of the text. And God gives it to us that obey him. No man having drunk old wine straightway desired new. For he said the old wine is better. That's what they always say. So it's very sad that a lot of people have rejected the Messiah. Scholars, people that are geniuses. I mean, theologians, archaeologists, professors. They can't see the Messiah in any of the verses, especially if they're Jewish. You know, Jews that reject the Messiah because their eyes are shut, the ears are plugged. It's very sad. Luke 15 tells us, parables of the Messiah, some are good and some are happy and some are sad, huh? A lot of them are correction. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. Those are the people that show up, believe it or not. And that's the people we used to, I know a lot of times we have to go round up. Because the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, they're so puffed up. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So we do have to go amongst the people of the world and preach the gospel. You can't just stay around people that think they're so holy, but you have to get out there and do something. Then he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, don't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost and find it? Of course. When he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found one my sheep which was lost. And that's what we have to do. We have to go find some lost sheep. They're out there. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven. Just think of that. There's joy in this spiritual place called heaven. I'd like to just see that once. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. More than 99 just persons that need no repentance. Of course, God cares for you, but it's so rejoiceful to see someone turn from their sins. You know, I keep preaching to people and hoping one day they'll show up, Anyway, what about a woman having 10 pieces of silver? If she loses one piece, does she go forget about it? No. She does. She goes, lights a candle, sweeps her house, and seeks diligently until she finds it. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I found the piece that was lost. Likewise, I say unto you, which is really amazing to think about, if you can, you say la, and you contemplate this for a moment, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Wow. Could you imagine? I can't even imagine what that looks like. Imagine that. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalls me, and divide unto me. So he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That's right. If you don't want to serve God, the devil out there will have you do the things that are totally not of God. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Yuck. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. So this is what he was thinking. So he arose and came to his father, and when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. And they began to make merry. Isn't that a beautiful story? So we always pray that people from the past that even were with us, that forsook us and went back into sin, if they would just repent and come back. I know there'll be joy before the angels in heaven. And then some people that are always with God, you know, they get a little upset. His eldest son was in the field, and when he came, drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what does this mean? And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father had killed a fatted calf, and he had received him safe and sound. And the person that was in the group, you know, secure with God, they get angry, and they would not go in, and came to the father and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. You never gave me a kid, and you didn't make merry with my friends. But as soon as my brother comes, who has devoured his life with riotous living, with living with harlots, you have killed him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, don't be jealous or whatever the word is. You're ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. Amen. And that's what we should do if people come back. We don't hold things against people, and, you know, we don't try to... No, we're wise. We observe them. You know, we forgive. We don't forget. We observe them. We don't hold it against them. Or hold any grudges if anyone came back. Luke 18. He spoke a parable unto this end, that men and women ought always to pray and not faint. Amen. How much did you pray since this year began? That's a good question. Did you pray unto God? He said there was a city, there was a judge, which feared not God, and he regarded not men or women. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, constantly she's coming, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. So you should be at least as good as him, and shall not avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know. I don't think so. Wow, not too much, yeah. And he spoke a parable unto a certain of them that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised everybody else. That's sick. We're so righteous, we got to despise everyone else. We know the Torah. I don't even want to look at that person. That's bad. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one, a religious leader that had all the robes and looked so holy, a Pharisee. And the other, just a publican, a regular person. And they're going in the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It's always with himself. He said thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I'm a religious leader. I'm a ruler. I even fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's deep. I tell you that that man, that publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone that exalts themselves shall be abased, and anyone that humbles themselves shall be exalted. Amen. That's what we've learned that over the years. We take the lower seat. We try, you know. Luke 19. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And that's an example of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to seek and go try to save some people that are lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke another parable. Because they were nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought that everything was going to happen right then. And he said, therefore, in this parable, a certain nobleman went into a far country and received for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 1 pound, 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. And that's what we have to do. We have to occupy until the Lord comes, or until we go meet the Lord. We have to keep serving the Lord every day, and do it one day at a time. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So whatever God gives you, what are you doing with it? Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because you have been faithful in that which was little, have authority over 10 cities. Yay, I've given you things to do and better get going. Second came saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise then, be thou over five cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, I didn't do nothing with all the talents you gave me. I always put it off. Put it off tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year. Here's the pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Because I feared you, because you are an austere man, that thou, you takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He thought that was going to be just, and he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that my coming I might have required thine own with usury. Yeah, he wanted some gain. And he said unto them that stood by, take the pound away from him and give it to him that had 10 pounds, the guy who did so much. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. What do you want to do that for? For I say unto you that everyone that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Wow. That's a scary thought. So whatever you do, you better do it with your might. And whatever God wants you to do, you better get cooking. You better get moving. Whatever it may be, I don't, you know, only you know. John 10 says, verily, verily, I say unto you that if you enter not by the door into the sheepfold, if you don't come into the real gospel, the truth of the gospel, but you try to climb up some other way, some other philosophy, some other whatever website, you're a thief and a robber. You try to get there by your own good works or by your own good deeds, or if you're you think you're such a nice person. I was telling this to someone yesterday. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. I like that. He knows your name. And he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Amen. A stranger will they not follow. Amen. We could tell strangers when they pop in our church here. They're strangers. But it says, we will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Yeshua unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. I thought he made that pretty simple. Then said Yeshua unto them, listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And in the future, there's going to be false messiahs too when I'm gone. And I hope the real sheep don't hear them. I'm the door. If any person enter in, they'll be saved. Amen. And shall go in and out and find pasture in my eternal life that I'm going to give them. You know, the devil comes, a thief, the devil comes not, but only to steal and to kill and to destroy your faith in God. I am come that they might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Wow, he actually died for us. But he that's a hireling, like the devil, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. That's why we always tell you, in the multitude of counselors there's safety, and don't get out of the fold. The hireling flee because he's a hireling. He don't care for the sheep, these other false religions and ministers and whatever. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. There's other people that are going to join the ministry that are not here, right here, present with you guys. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Even the Gentiles, once they join, we're all going to be one. Amen. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. You know, Yeshua made it very clear, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And because God, every time you tell the truth, and the people that are not of the sheep of God, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. There's always a division. Every time you preach the truth and proclaim the truth, there's going to be a division. So don't think it's so strange. Luke 12 says, he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness. Ooh. Yeah, beware of covetousness. Oh, I wish I had that, and I wish I had that, and I wish I had his stuff, and I wish I had her stuff, and I wish I had more. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which you possess. You could say that again. And Yeshua again speaks a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, so plentiful. This rich guy, you know. And notice all the way he used all the little personal pronouns, I. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I'm doing so great. Then he said, this will I do. I'll just pull down these barns here, and I will build greater ones, because I'm great. And there I bestow my fruits and my goods. I'll have everything. I got it all together. Wow. And I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, you forgot. You never know when you're going to meet the Lord. You fool. This night your soul shall be required of you. Wow, that gives me the chills, doesn't it? The soul is required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? All the things that you gathered and all the things that you attained and all the whatever you got, think you got going. So is he that lays up treasure for himself or herself, and you're not rich toward God. I was telling that to someone yesterday. I said, we should definitely be able to do something for God. Something. Got to do something for God. So think about doing things for God. Just keeping his commandments, being a testimony, being a light of the world, being a temple of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go, and showing people that there's truth. It's probably more than anyone could even do on this planet. Luke 16 tells us there was a certain rich man. There's always a rich man. Now, God's not against rich people. He's against the ones that are just full of themselves. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He was just having a picnic, you know. And there was this poor beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. And he just wanted to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Would you bring, after you come from your house, can you just give me the crumbs that fell from your table? Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Oh. And it came to pass when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He made it right where Abraham is, which is with God in the kingdom of heaven. He must have had a good heart. The rich man, when he died, he was just buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Torments. Seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Send the guy I didn't even care about, that he may just dip the tip of his finger in water, that he may cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. Whoa. That's pretty horrible. pretty descriptive. Tormented in a flame forever. Abraham said, son, buddy, remember that thou in thy lifetime receive good things and likewise receive evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Tormented. And besides all this, there's a between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Place of torment. Can't even imagine what that is. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Tanakh. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Yeshua already rose from the dead and they don't believe. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets and they don't listen to the Tanakh, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead, like Yeshua himself. Wow. That's a scary thought. That makes it sound like hell might have some torments, huh? And just think death. Just think death and hell are going to be cast into a lake of fire to make it worse. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. So, in closing, remember Proverbs 26:7. No, the legs of the lame are not equal. So is the parable in the mouth of fools. So watch out for people's false stories and false parables. He that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. So watch out when you're talking to people. You might be wasting your time, wasting your energy. Yes. You can tell immediately if God's there. As a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. They feel nothing. They just make light of it and go their way. Anyway, just remember this. The great God that formed all things, everyone's going to get a reward. He's going to reward the fools and the transgressors. Shabbat shalom, everyone. And we're going to get our reward, too. Hope you got something out of my little message today. Thank you for being here, the first study of the year 2018. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another study, and make us always read your parables and the stories that we know are true. And Heavenly Father, we take them to heart, and we just thank you that we could even be alive in this century, and show us how to get the gospel out more, Father, now that this advertising has ended through validity. There must be other places what we could do and where we could go and who we could meet. Heavenly Father, show us and lead, guide, and direct us in Yeshua's name. And may God bless everyone today. Bless the singing, the food. Let everything be done to the glory of the living God. And may God be with you and lead, guide, and direct you into right decisions, right discernment, and right rationale in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless everyone. I'm going to get off the mic.
Does anybody have any questions on appearance?
Anybody have any questions or anything, comments? Come on up. I'll stop the video. Shabbat shalom, everyone, for the first study of the year, 2018. And I'll stop the audio.